once like a bird in prison I dwelled. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus did see. For glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus did see. For glory to God, he set me free.
Great singing tonight. Turn around and welcome someone to our service this evening. Oh, my throat ain't gonna make it tonight, bro.
Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me.
Bow our heads together in prayer and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Father, we come to you this afternoon. Lord, as your people, God, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for being a God that is personal and that teaches us how to live. Lord, I'm so thankful for your mercy and your patience and loving kindness in my own life, and I know in the life of everyone here, Lord, we could amen that. You are a good God to us, and you work with us gently and tenderly, Lord, to teach us to follow you. And God, as you apply all kinds of ways in our life, your chastisement to us to get our attention and to steer us down the path of Christ's likeness. God, we thank you for that and how you love us. And we know for sure that we are going to heaven, God, not because of something we pray, but because what you've done in our life. And we know that you have changed us. You have called us. You have delivered us, Lord, and we praise you tonight because we are people of your own name, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done. And Lord, tonight I thank you for that, and I pray that you'll help us this evening. You'll be with me, and Lord, you'll guide me in a few moments as we get into your word, and you'll be with a couple guys that are sharing testimony from the conference tonight, that you'll use them, Lord, in a special way to minister to hearts. And Lord, I just pray this evening that you will have your will and way in our hearts and bless our time together as the family of God. And Jesus, we ask this in your name, and all God's people say it tonight. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And it's so good to see you with us tonight, and glad to have you here on our Sunday evening service. And I said in just a little bit, we'll have a couple testimonies from a couple guys that wanted to share from the conference that we went to, and what a blessing it was, a great time we had together there in Northport, Alabama, and thank God for working in our lives and speaking to us. Also, I mentioned this morning, don't forget about the teen camp. Tonight is going to be the last night that we can guarantee you to sign up with our group. So make sure you get that form in. Get to Brother Ricky and Miss Luann Dollar and get that to us. And tomorrow we're going to register those online. The dates in the bulletin are June, but it's July the 16th through the 20th are the dates that we're going to teen camp this summer. So please, if you'll make a note of that, July the 16th through 20th is when we're doing that. But get those forms into us so you're guaranteed to be able to go. Those slots are filling up as well. And we want to make sure we're doing all that we can to take everybody as possible, as many young people as possible to that. Then the second announcement there about our shirts, there's three different types of shirts that you can order. We have an athletic type shirt that's just a regular t-shirt, but it's an athletic material with our thumbnail on the back and our logo on the front. You can get that, or you can get a v-neck for the ladies, or an actual polo shirt, and all of those are out there, $18 to $20. You go online to do that, and then they'll ship that after it is complete, after March the 21st. So you'll have 10 more days now to register for that. Go on there and pay for that, and you'll be helping sending young people to camp with that as well. And then I mentioned this morning about our Easter that is coming up in just 3 weeks away. But if you can continue to bring wrap candy for that, we'll have those stuffed as well and continue to have those together. All right, so that's announcements this evening. We're going to go ahead and sing one more time tonight. So if you will, let's stand together and let's go to 372. 372, one of my favorite songs, the Christian Onward, Christian Soldiers. Let's sing out on this song this evening.
Y'all listen. We found out when we started this song, I sing it totally different than they play it. So I'm trying to learn it the way they play it. So I'm just going to move over here so I can hear the piano. So if I stop, y'all keep singing.
Amen.
Because I'm going to try not to mess up. Let's go.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle. Soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Onward,
may ye people join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Great job, singer. King fell and had an accident this morning, so if you will, continue to remember her, and then his Papa Jimmy is doing some better, but he had a blood sugar tank, and he blacked out this morning, but he is at home doing better, so continue to remember him in prayer, and then as well, I forgot to mention him this morning, but Gerald is a new man right here in our church, went to the conference with us, and then last night when he got home, his gout had a gout attack, so pray for him if you will. He's not able to be here today, but do remember him in your prayers as well, and others as well. Is there anybody else tonight that I failed to mention this morning that we need to be praying for? Anything, make sure we remember others, one another as well also, okay? Anybody else tonight at all need to mention, pray for? Let's go to the Lord in prayer for our offering this evening. Ask Brother Jimmy Baxter, if you will. Will you pray for our offering this evening? God, thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you.
Birthdays last week. Anybody have a birthday? Nobody. Well, I know for a fact we have one anniversary, but did anybody else have one? Because I did. Matter of fact, today is my anniversary. We got one more. Y'all can stand up. Don't be bashful.
Amen.
Anybody else? What day was y'all married on?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Ah, let's sing.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen. Let's give them folks a hand. Give them a hand. Awesome. 33 years, that's a long time. And Chris, you just told off, we thought you were real younger than that, all right? And you messed up, man. Your wife, you're going to be in trouble when you get home, amen. And but listen, so good to have you with us tonight. I'm excited. In just a little bit, I'm going to come, we're going to get into the Word. One of the things this week we went to, and I want you to pray for me about, we were at the men's conference, and I'm telling you, I do not know, there's 18 of us that went, I do not know of any place as a man, as a teenage young man, or even a junior boy, where you can go and sit and hear as straight preaching as we heard. Guys, can I get a witness on that? And I'm telling you, they laid it out, and every service was like picking us up and slapping us upside the head. And then we had a separate session on Saturday. This is one of the things that I'm burdened about. And we were riding home, and I think it was Gerald that I was talking to on the way home. We were riding home. I think so, when you were driving and Scott taking the front seat, and I think it was Gerald and I were sitting there talking. I looked around, went to the pastor section, and out of all the pastors in the state of Alabama, we have 90-something churches, 90-something Free Baptist churches in the state. There was only eight churches at this event, at this conference, only eight. And so I want you to pray for me. I want to do all that I can in our area to reach out to our pastors next year, and that we can take more men, more churches there. Because I'm telling you, there's no way to be in a better position to go there and God preaching, using those men to preach to us about things that are straight manhood. And it's just so awesome to be there and preaching on sin and the sin of our age and men and our homes and leading our homes. And I'm telling you, it was incredible. So I wanted to give tonight. A couple guys wanted to share some testimonies. Not everybody wanted to, but there are a couple guys that wanted to, and I wanted them to come and share some about it. Wayne, will you come first? And then Wayne comes, and then Brett, if you'll come after him. And there was a couple others that wanted to come. You just come on up, and Frog, you come up right after them. And anybody else that would like to share, you feel free to come up. And so tonight, I'm going to give them an opportunity to share what the Lord did in their life. And I think that blue one there is on.
He kind of didn't like that, but anyway, we had a great time of fellowship. I learned one thing is, next year we're going to let somebody else arrange the rooms, because Joey put me in a room with two teenagers. Well, they're not your normal teenagers. He put me in a room with Big Sass and Jonathan. I told him, I said, y'all sleeping in the bed together. Y'all not getting in the bed with me. And I don't know if y'all know Jonathan, he got in the bed and his feet hung off the bed this far. But no, we had some great services. One of my most favorite services is happened yesterday morning when they kind of separated the layman from the pastor. They took the pastor's office with Dr. Curtis Linton, and we was over there with Brother Scott. And he told us there's three things as husbands and fathers and men of the church that what God has called us to do. Each and every one of us men, first of all, he's called us to be a priest in our household. It's not our wife's job to see if our kids have done our devotion. And you can ask my wife, I have failed her. It's not our wife's job to lead our house spiritually. That's us. That's our job as a man. Number two thing he told us is, it's our job to be a provider. You know, it's our job to get up every morning, go to work, so we can provide for our family. Make sure the lights are on. That's our job as a man. And then, of course, the last thing he told us is our job to be a protector of our family. We're to be there for our family, the good times, but also the bad times, too. I know a lot of these things I have felt, especially with being the priest of my family. So it's challenged me to be a better man of God, that I may be moving forward is to make sure that our household and my wife and my kids, if we're following, like he wants it. So I challenge each and every one of you men next year when we go, y'all sign up and go, because it is an awesome, you hear some awesome preaching for some awesome men of God. So that's what I got out of it.
Thank you. Pastor Brother Britt, if you'll come. And boy, appreciate that. And I appreciate so much him going, Brother Wayne. Appreciate your testimony. Britt, at this time, is going to come and he's going to share how God worked in his life.
Second time I got to go. Last year, Brother Joey come to us. I went to Brother Joey probably in January and said, look, that was something that you had said, Brother Mick, about the men in this church need to step up. Be the men that we need to be. For too long, the women have carried the church. When the disciples left after Jesus was crucified, the ladies carried the church. The disciples ran off and hid. So when Joey told us about this conference to go to, of course, I jumped on board, and Brian and Scott, just three of us that went. Of course, JJ and Titus and Brother Joey. But it was awesome. So as soon as it come back around this year, I went to Brother Joey, hey, we're going to God's Man this year. Learned a lot from it last year, and even more this year. But in Sunday school, last quarter, I think, a couple quarters ago, we learned in Ruth. And I never thought about it in Ruth. The reason that they went to Moab was because the husband led them. I don't want to lead my family to Moab, because Moab represents sin. It doesn't matter what my wife does in that household, I'm responsible. I'm the priest of that house. Joey's not the pastor of my house. I am. Brian Sim may be my Sunday school teacher, but he's not the pastor of my house. I'm responsible for Megan and my two kids. I don't want them to go. I don't want to lead them to Moab like they did, and because in the story of Moab, if you read in the first three verses, the man led his family to Moab, and both of his sons died there. They had kids. They died there. Only Naomi come back with Ruth. And then through that heritage is where Jesus Christ, our Savior, comes from. So he come out of sin. But the point that I want to make to a lot of the men in here, let's stand up. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's fulfill the commandment that God gave us to be the men of our houses, the men of our communities. And next year when we go, I'm telling you, you need to come. It's an awesome experience. Curtis Linton, he's an awesome man of God. If you like the way Brother Billy was, that's the way he was. And the cool thing is, and this is funny, I pointed out to Wayne, the guy who's over this, his name is Brother Scott Coghill. He looks 30 years younger than Brother Joey. But he was actually one of the pastors that led Brother Joey to the Lord. So you can come and see him and tell him to forgive us for having a pastor like that.
All right, several of our young people got to go too with us, and the Frog's going to share testimony. Anybody else, when you're done, just let me know, flag me, and I'll give you opportunities for it.
I learned a lot there while I was there. I had a car ride with JJ, Jose, and Bo-Ricky. Jose is Brother Chad. I had a fun ride just there. Where I got Jose from, we went to Taco Bell. And where we were at Taco Bell, I said, they were talking about, we're going to say names and stuff as we get there when they call our names out. And I said, Brother Chad, I bet you won't go up there and say Jose. He gets up there and he goes, my name's Jose. Just pleasant day. And they call him out, and then Brother Brett goes up there and says, my name's Batman. And Gibby goes, don't you look a little too old to be Batman? And yeah, so that was great. We ate a lot. And then, the services, Brother Kurt was my favorite. He's amazing. He kept my attention. Brother Nate was too. They were both good. They're a good tag team. They're a good tag team to be together. And I learned a lot. And I'm gonna add on a little bit to Brother Brett's. The first night really hit me. I don't want to leave my family to this world. Place. I'll leave.
You don't really realize how much men you have in your church that are trying to do right, they're trying to live for the Lord, until you get somewhere like that where you can see that God's speaking in their heart and they're really trying to do right. And that's just something that I know we need. But I know the sermons were great. Brother Nate came, I think, 2 or 3 years ago to Rekindle, and he did really good. And we went there, and he did really good, and so was Brother Curtis. Brother Curtis looks, he is a remake of Brother Billy. He slaps, screams, punches, and he always has jokes, and he's always making fun of somebody, or he's talking about something. It's a blast. And Brother Scott Coghill did a thing where they split up the pastors and they split the laymen of the church, and he was talking about how a man should be to his family, and that was really good, because I know one day I eventually want to have a family of my own, and I don't want to lead him into sin. And but the best service to me was it was Friday night, the second service. Brother Nate Ainge preached on being filled with the Spirit, and that was something that I really needed, because school and then sports and then coming to church, you just kind of feel like you don't have time, but you really do. And not being filled with the Spirit like I need to, and that's just something that I feel like all people need to be filled with the Spirit, and that was something that really spoke to me.
Anybody else want to share? Anybody else want to share? And John, you want to say something? And you're welcome to if you want to, all right? Amen, amen. He said something, amen. Hey, I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to take your Bibles, and I'm not sure I'm going to get to this tonight. I really think it would probably take me 45 minutes to preach this sermon, so don't get nervous, okay? I promise I try to major on being respectful with that and your time, and I appreciate you so much coming and being here, and I know the day is a hard day for many. You lost that hour of sleep, and boy, it's so rough, and even this morning I told our Sunday school class, I didn't mean to be crazy about it, but I told them, I said, y'all, I want to thank y'all for coming, because I thought we wouldn't have anybody here today, and we had a great class, a great time, and I appreciate so much your faithfulness to the house of God today. And I tell you, one of the things about God's Men's Conference, we were there, we got five sermons, as straight as you could get them. And I want you to pray for Brother Curtis Linton. We've had him scheduled now for over a year. And I had before God's Man Conference last year to come and preach. He's going to be preaching here in June. We're going to have like a jubilee, a Saturday and Sunday jubilee. And he's going to be preaching for us. And I'm telling you, you make sure you're here. And I don't think he has ever preached at our church. And I'm not sure how that happened. I'm really not sure how that's happened. He preaches every week somewhere all across the country. And God uses him in a great, great way. He's been doing that for years and years. Him and Preacher were the best of friends, and I'm not even sure how he's never been here before, but do be praying for him and praying for that, and you pray for fruition here. I want to go to somewhere tonight if we can. Let's go to Colossians chapter number 3, and then after we pray tonight, I'm going to go to a verse in Mark chapter number 8 as well. But my heart is full tonight. I pray that I can get this out in a simple way this evening, and how we can look at this. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians, if you will, let's stand together out of respect for God's word. Stand together if you're able to. Colossians chapter number 3, if you didn't bring a Bible, the purple Bible right in front of you, you can take it and go to page 1264, and again, let's get right into it. Colossians chapter number 3, I want you to look in verse number 12. Are you glad you're still here tonight? Will you say amen? And let's go to verse 12, and the Bible tells us this. He says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, and the Bible says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with," will you say that word with me? "Grace in your hearts to the Lord." Big deal there in verse number 16 where he says grace, singing with grace in your hearts. Verse 17, whatsoever you do or deed, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's pray together. Father, now right now, Lord, will you help us in the next few moments? God, will you open our hearts this evening? And Lord, I just pray just for a little bit I could do some kind of justice tonight, that you will use me and showing us tonight, Lord, how much you care about us and how when you saved us, Lord, there was a plan put in motion. You put a plan in motion, God, for us to experience you on this earth and to live the Christian life and to be a life, Lord, of the abundance in Christ. But Lord, will you guide us in the next few moments to make this simple to us and work in our hearts tonight, Jesus? We ask this in your name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. If you will now tonight, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go into the book of Mark. That's a little bit before Colossians, Matthew, Mark. The second gospel, Matthew and Mark. Mark chapter number 8. And before I get there, if you'll go to Mark chapter 8, and that is, again, if you got that purple Bible, that is on page 1055, if you have that purple Bible. Mark chapter number 8. Now, before we get there, I want to go through something, if I can, to introduce this to us tonight. And I want to talk about, if I can, just for a moment, there's a couple different places that we live in our lives as Christians in this world. Number one, Hebrews talks about us being saved so as by fire. What does that mean? That means that people, they come to Christ, they get saved, and they just almost just barely saved. They get into heaven, but so as by fire. Hey, they made it to heaven, but from their life, they were just barely Christians, okay? So that's the phase one that the Bible mentions. And then there's a phase two over here that the Bible mentions, and it's talked about a lot. And Jesus is trying to preach against this in Mark chapter 8, and here's what it is. A person has been saved, they've been born again, and they begin to live the Christian life, and they have ups and downs and ups and downs, ups and downs, and watch this. They live the Christian life. They believe that Jesus is real, that He is their Savior. If you believe that, say amen. They believe that He wants them to live in victory in their life and enjoy their Christian life on this earth. If you believe the Bible teaches that, say amen. But for some reason, they're not. They're not. They're not enjoying the Christian life. And they look and say, God, I know that you're real. I know Jesus rose from dead. I know you're alive. And I know that you want me to experience the abundant life on earth. But right here in the middle, they look and they say, God, why is it not abundant for me? And then the third place over here, obviously, is the abundant life, where Jesus said, the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life more. Will you say it with me? Abundantly. What does that mean? That means boiling over. In other words, you have such a good life that God has given you. Doesn't mean easy life, but such a good life that you wouldn't trade it for anything, even if the devil offered it to you. Somebody say amen. And you wonder why, because you're living the abundant life. But my experience as a pastor, and even many times in my own life, is that many Christians, they don't live over here. They live right here in the middle. They live right here in the middle, and they live confused as a Christian. They live in doubt as a Christian. Why? Because they're just not experiencing the abundant life in Christ. And right here in Mark chapter number 8, here's what Jesus is doing. He is talking to disciples. He's talking to who? People that have already been saved. And He is telling them, listen, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross daily and follow me. You've got to abandon yourself. You've got to give all to me every day of your life, like I preached this morning. You have to be sold out and focused on walking with Christ. And Jesus is saying, hey, I want you as a Christian to experience the abundant life. But then I want you to look what He says in verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. In context of what He's preaching and teaching, look what He says and where He says it. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, look what Jesus says. And He tells them this. He says, for what shall it profit a who? Now watch this. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own what? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So what did Jesus tell us right here? Hey, look at me. He's talking to the disciples. And He says, what good does it do you? What good does it profit you as a believer if you gain everything in this world, yet you lose the soul that I redeemed for you. You lose everything that I saved you for. What good does it do you? Let me put it in Alabama English. If you are saved, but you live an unsuccessful spiritual life. And I want to say to you tonight, church, that God didn't save me to just barely get by. He saved me that I could live in victory. If I'm right about it, will you say amen? And I want to say tonight that Christ, He didn't come up out of that grave to give me a dead, stagnant life. He didn't come up out of that grave to give me a spiritual life that somebody had to make me live. He didn't come up out of that grave that somebody would have to follow me around and prod me and push me to live for Christ. He didn't come up out of that grave to give me a life where somebody's got to twist my arm and beg me and pray for me and prod me to follow Christ. My friend, He came up out of that grave so I could know Christ, and the life of Christ could live out of me, and I could live every day of my life in the power of God. Somebody say amen. And I'm telling you tonight, more than anything in the church of the living God, we've got Christians who are so defeated in their life that many times they don't even think they're saved because they live in so unsuccessfully spiritually in this present world. Now, if I'm right about it, say amen. And I'm telling you, we can deny it if we want to. But there are many Christians, and tonight I'm afraid we know some, and even some of us in this building. We have to be prodded to give God our best. Why? We're living unsuccessful. We're living the unsuccessful spiritual life that He saved us for. Well, right here in Colossians chapter number 3. Jesus is writing, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he said, let me tell you how to experience, watch these words, spiritual success in your life. And you know what spiritual success is? I'll tell you what spiritual success is. I remember when I was in college. Now I went, those of you who are around my age, you'll know what I mean by this. I grew up in the education system in Mississippi, where in the middle of it, they decided they were going to teach kids how to read differently. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. We were taught growing up, we were taught reading by memorization. And then in the middle of it, they flipped the script and said, we're actually going to teach you how to comprehensively read. We're going to actually teach you how to use your mind. And I was in the middle of all that, and I remember going to college, and I remember standing up there in the class, first day of English class, and the teacher talking about an antecedent. I was like, I did not know a noun had an auntie, amen? I didn't know. I was like, what in the world are you talking? I didn't know any of that. And you say, well, Joy, no, listen, I didn't know any of that. And so what did they do? There was a large group of us from Mississippi that went to college that year. They made all 60 of us take a test, and they divided the class. They had what they called a beginner English, or for those, and in the majority of the class, we were all from Mississippi. I hate to say that, we all were. And then there was the other rest of the world over here in this real English class. But I remember studying, giving my best. And I'm telling you, it was hard for me. My brother, he can read something and have it, take a test, ace it, not me. Studying, I have to study every day of the week for when I'm preaching and teaching. I can't just sit down and study for 2 hours. I have to study every day of the week. Miss Teresa's back there. Morning and evening, afternoon, before lunch, after lunch, I have times I have to study because I'm not smart enough to not be able to do that. But I remember in college, in my English exam, I wanted to have all A's. Now listen, young people, don't you walk out of here and go home and tell your parents, preacher said I don't have to have all A's. Don't you do that because that's wrong. Amen? I preface this. I wanted to have all A's so bad. But I knew that God only wanted me to do my best. And I believed that. And I remember studying for that exam. I'd get out and I'd go and I'd write all the notes. I did this for an entire semester. I'd come out of class. I'd write all my notes on a steno pad. I'd jump in my car and I'd go to work. I worked at Granger building material, and I'd go there and I'd go in the warehouse and I'd work and I'd walk around. When I was walking down the aisles, I'd go over them notes, and man, I would pick and I would take it up there and the guys would box. And I spent my 6 hours at work in the afternoon, and then I would come home, and there were times where I went to my second job as a night watchman, and I'd be sitting out there walking around, driving around, making sure everything's okay, studying my notes. And man, I'm telling you, I remember taking that final exam and going through. I spent a whole semester every day I studied every day like that, a couple hours a day I studied for it, because I could not make, and came to the final exam, I studied and studied and studied and studied, and got my final grade, and I failed, and I was discouraged. And then I got my report card, and I had a D minus, but I passed. English was not in my major, amen? I passed. But I remember taking that and going to get by myself. Listen to me. And I remember saying, God, you know my heart. I gave you my best. And I want to tell you, there is nothing to me, that D, that was success. Joy, there's no way a D was success for me. I gave it my all. I worked 2 jobs. I did all these things, and I dated this beautiful girl. That I did everything I could. But I gave it my best. And you said, Brother Joy, I wouldn't brag about a D. No, but if you'd earned a D the way I did, you'd brag about it. Amen. But I'm telling you, I felt so successful. Why? Because I had done what I knew God wanted me to do. And do you know tonight, as a Christian, watch this, God wants us to live with that mentality that I am experiencing everything that God has for me. I'm experiencing life the way that He has mapped it out for me. I'm not living below the level. My friend, I am living up here of why He died and He was buried and He rose again. And I am experiencing life the way that it was meant to be lived on this earth. And I'm telling you, as a Christian, there is nothing more fulfilling than knowing you are pleasing Christ and you are living the successful Christian life. And you say, Brother Joey, how do we do that? Listen, don't get nervous. I'm going to give you point one. Next Sunday night, I'll finish point two and three. But point one tonight, if you're still with me, say amen. How do you live spiritually successful in this world? Number one, you realize, stay with me, you realize how much you mean to God. Don't miss this. You realize how much you mean to God. Look at verse 12. Look what he says. Paul's writing to these Colossians. Look what he tells them. Verse number 12, he says this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Paul begins his plea with them when he's talking about living spiritually successful. And he says, listen, I want you to put on. And he addresses them who they are in Christ. And the first thing he says, if you look back at verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the, will you say the word with me? Elect of God. Now, what does that mean to be the elect of God? Here's what it means. The word elect here is the idea, stay with me, okay, of chosen. What does that mean? Now, this word, there's some people say God purposely picked people to go to heaven and people to go to hell. That's not in the Bible. Listen, the Bible in 1 Peter, he just explains this elect of God is foreknowledge. In other words, God knew everything that would happen. And when you got saved, he chose you as his child. He chose you to be in him. He chose you, listen to me, to be his child. And do you understand tonight that if you know Christ tonight, that you have been chosen by God to be his son, to be his daughter? You say, what do you mean, Brother Joey? I mean God. The word here, idea, is that he went up and said, I want him to be my son. And he personally chose you to become his child, to become his inheritance, to his joint heir in Christ. Hey, we have been chosen to be sons of God. Somebody say amen about that. It's like this. You ever remember, I want you to picture your mind out at a playground in the middle school, 6th through the 8th grade. Stay with me. Some of the kids out there, they're on the basketball court, and some of those kids have grown, and some of those kids have not grown yet. Some of those kids, their voices has three different octaves, but some of those kids' voices, they still sound like a girl. They haven't grown any at all, and they got two teams. There's 11 kids. Stay with me. There's 11 kids. 11 kids. And there's 10 kids out there that are this tall, and there's one little boy this tall, and they pick captains. By the way, I want to say this to our leaders here in our church. You pick teams. You pick teams. Don't you let kids pick the teams. You put them together. Watch this. He goes through, they pick the first two, then the second two, then the next three, and then the four and the five, and they pick their five, and they pick their five. And you look out there on the playground, and you see that one little kid by himself, and he feels like he's worth nothing. He feels like he ain't worth anything. Nobody cares about him, and he's left out all alone. And what happened? Because he didn't get picked. Hey, listen to me here. The Bible says that we are the elect of God. Let me tell you what this word means. It means you were his first choice. My friend, he chose you to be his child. He chose you to be his daughter. He chose you to be his son. And hey, I'm glad tonight that I am chosen in Christ and I belong to him. Somebody say amen. And by the way, I'm so glad he don't have to, nobody he picks last. He picks all of us the same in Christ. You are the elect of God. And I also want you to think about this. You have been given a little bit of God inside yourself. What do you mean, Brother Joe? Here's what I mean. When you got saved, he gave you a spiritual gift. And that means because you became one of his children, he gave you something to serve him with. Now, we automatically think that that means somebody, excuse me, that hurt. Somebody can sing or preach or teach. But listen tonight, there's some of you in this building. He has given you a gift. And you ought to rejoice in the fact that you are the elect of God. You're his son. You're his daughter. And tonight, we are the elect children of God. But look back at verse 12. Won't you see what else we are in him? Not only are we the elect of God, but he says this. In verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God. And then the next word here, what does he say? Will you say it with me? Holy. The word holy here, stay with me, means set apart to God. But watch what I'm saying tonight. Won't you look at me? Will you look up at me? Let me tell you what this word means. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God holy. He is trying to get us to understand, not only am I an elect child of God, but number two, I am holy because that's what He did in my heart. And do you know tonight as a Christian, and every Christian in this room, listen to me. In your heart, you have a desire to do what God wants you to do. Every one of us. You say, but Joy, I don't have that desire in me. Then you are not born again. You've never been born again. But listen to this. In context, what he's saying is this. You desire to live for God because of what He did in you. And He said, you want to know how much you mean to Him? Not only are you one of His chosen children, He chose you. He elected you to be His child. You are the chosen of God, but you're also holy. He has changed your life. And tonight, hey, listen, if we're going to be successful spiritually, we have to understand that He has made us holy. He is making us holy is the verb here. He is doing that in our life. By the way, I mentioned this in my prayer tonight before we started the service, at the beginning of the service. One of the preachers, Brother Nate, on Friday night, he preached on this at the conference. But you know, one of the things I'm thankful for as a Christian is this. I'm thankful for the chastening of God in my life. What does that mean? Here's what it means. You do wrong, God will chasten you. But He ain't the kind of God that walks in the room, rips His belt off, and just starts swinging and beating. That's not who He is. He comes in brokenhearted. He says, you won't listen to me, so I've got to do something to get your attention. And He, long-suffering in His spirit, begins to chasten us. And you know, as a Christian, how many of you tonight would testify, I know when I do wrong because God lets me know it. Hey, we are becoming holy because of what He is doing inside of us. And then I want to give you this one, and we're going to end tonight. Number one tonight. We are to realize how much we mean to Him. We are the elect of God. We are becoming holy because of what He's doing in us. But look back at verse number 12, and I want you to see what He says here. Holy and beloved. Holy and beloved. Now, the word beloved here means that we're special. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean by this. Tonight, I ask God this afternoon, God, help me to portray to our people tonight how much you love them. And I want to say it to you this way. A lot of the old timers, by old timers I mean men that used to preach and are already dead and gone. When you read their writings, sometimes you'll come across this statement. Jesus died for you, and if you would have been the only sinner on the earth, He would have died for you still. You know why? Because you are His beloved. He loves you individually. What do you mean, Brother Joey? That's what the word here means. This word beloved doesn't mean that God just loves everybody, but it means, the actual tense of it means, that if you were the only sinner, He still would have died for you. You know why? Because He loves you. And I want to say to you tonight, church, He loves me. He loves you. He loves you. You say, Brother Joey, but He knows me. And He still died for you. You are His beloved. And tonight, if we're going to live spiritually successful, it starts with knowing, realizing how much we mean to Him. And you be back next week. I'm going to tell you how we can do this. He shows us very simple how we can live the victorious Christian life. We're going to look at it next Sunday night. But it starts with realizing how much we mean to Him. And y'all, He chose us individually. He's doing His work in us to make us like Him. And we are His beloved. We are the apple of His eye. He loves us individually, just like we are. Somebody say amen. Here's what I'm going to do tonight. Justin, will you come here, buddy? I'm going to ask you tonight. Let's pray together. And this is Justin, and you're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. This is Justin, and Justin has been coming to our church now for several months, a couple years on our bus, and he's been riding our bus to church. And, a couple months ago, he came to me, and he said, "Brother Joey, I don't know if I'm going to heaven." And he said, "Will you come talk to my family about it?" So I went by his house, talked to his mom, talked to his dad and them, and went through the gospel with him. And God is trying to draw them and show them what it was. But then he came to me a couple weeks later, and he said, "Preacher, I want you to come by and talk to him." And he said, "I'm having to move." And he said, "I don't want to move. Matter of fact, I'm trying to talk my parents into moving to north of town instead of moving all the way over to Auburn." Who wants to move to Auburn, right? But Justin, when you came in, like, you might have saw, I was a little sad. He came up. Tonight is going to be his last service with us. It's going to be his last service with us here at Sardis. And we knew ahead of time that this was coming. And I want us to pray for him. And I want, how many of you know his mom and dad? You know their family, know some of them. And let's continue to remember them in prayer and pray that we can find a church around Auburn area for him to go to there where he is. And how many of you believe God loves him? Amen? Loves this little boy just as much as he loves me and you. He loves Justin. And I want us to pray tonight. We're going to pray together. And hey, I want you and your family, you may tonight just want to come. No music, Miss D, just come. Grab your wife, your kids, just come pray together. And I'm going to pray with Justin, and we're going to pray for him, and then we'll be dismissed tonight. And so if you would, let's join each other down here at the altar tonight. I'm going to ask my wife and my kids if you'll come. And let's just close in a word of prayer if you're able to. If you can't make it down, you can pray right there in your seat, and that'd be totally fine too. And let's just gather around together right here, and let's pray together. Let's spend some time together in prayer together, and thanking our Lord tonight for all he's done and what he's going to do, and praying for our church right now and one another. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you're able to, let's bow our heads together in prayer. And if you're standing at your pew or wherever you are, let's go to him in prayer. And Daddy, put your arm around your wife and kids and pray for your family and pray for one another. And those of you who remember, let's pray for Justin tonight and pray for his family. And let's go to the Lord tonight. Father, we come to you this evening. And Lord, I thank you tonight that you love us. God, I don't even understand fully what I just preached about us being your beloved. But Lord, I know that the word means that you have shown us this individual special love. And God, you love each of us tonight individually. And there's none of us in this building tonight that mean more to you than anybody else. Lord, tonight, sometimes our world, we try to go around and we try to specialize people. But God, the truth is tonight, you love each of us. You sent your son down here to die for us individually as sinners, as we were sinning against you. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. I thank you that we're the elect tonight, Lord, and you have chosen us to be your own children. And your knowledge, Lord, foreknowledge, you knew that we would choose you and we would respond to your conviction, and you have chosen us in Christ. And Lord, you are making us like Jesus. Thank you for your patience in our life. And God, many of us tonight, as we sit and we kneel and we pray, we are reminded of our own sin in our life and how patient you are with us and how you teach us to follow you and to know you and to yield to you. And tonight, Lord, I just pray that we would be people who realize how much we mean to you. And God, thank you for caring about us. Thank you for caring about us, even though you know everything about us, Lord. And I pray tonight as we get ready to close that you'll be with Justin, and Lord, that you'll help him tonight, and you'll continue to draw this young man and open his eyes that he will see and understand his need for the Christ. And Lord, we know that the devil, the god of this world, seeks to blind his mind and his eyes and to prevent him from seeing his need for Christ. But Lord, I pray that you will work in his little heart and you will continue to draw him. And God, I pray for a church there in Auburn where they're moving to, that you will somehow, Lord, you will bring somebody by there and we can find a place for this young man to go to, and that he can learn about the gospel, and he can not only become a believer, Lord, but for his mom and his dad and his brother. And we pray for all of them, Lord. And God, we know that you love them too, and we pray for this family. And Lord, I pray you be with them, and not only Justin, but Lord, even Malcolm, as he had an abrupt move, Lord, to move away from us here in Eufaula and towards Atlanta and Albany, Lord. And God, I pray that you'll be with Malcolm and you will help him. And Lord, we love him too, and we're so thankful for what you've done in that young man's life. And Lord, we miss him. We miss his heart for you around here. We miss him singing for you, Lord, around here. But God, I pray that you'll be with Malcolm and you'll help him. Lord, thank you that he's got a church already that he's going to faithfully. Lord, I thank you for that in his life. Will you continue to help him? And God, help our church to continue to just try to win people to Christ and to make disciples and then urge them, Lord, to follow you and to experience the life that Jesus has. And Lord, may we continue to be faithful to try to reach people with the gospel in every ministry that we have here in this church in our efforts, Lord. And we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you've done today. And Lord, we pray for Bree that you'll continue to be with her. Thank you for her baptism this morning. And we pray for her husband, Austin. Lord, thank you that he was here today. And God, we pray that you will continue to work in his heart. And thank you for his spirit. And God, I just pray that we will soon see him follow you, Lord, and others as well connected to this family. And God, we just pray that you'll continue to do what only you can. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege of being a Christian. And Lord, we ask this in your name tonight, and all God's people say it. Amen, amen. Hey, hug somebody. Tell them you love them tonight on your way out. You are dismissed. Thank you.